KCH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House held its first briefing of the Trump administration today, working to clarify the president's executive order freezing federal funding for critical aid programs and grants until a review is finished. Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt says the pause is temporary.
Individual assistance, that includes, I'm not naming everything that's included, but just to give you a few examples, Social Security benefits, Medicare benefits, food stamps, welfare benefits, assistance that is going directly to individuals will not be impacted by this pause.
Republican lawmakers in Florida holding their annual working meeting to discuss their legislative agenda and priorities outlined by the Trump administration. French President Emmanuel Macron announcing the famed Mona Lisa painting will be moved while the Louvre undergoes restoration. The Italian Renaissance portrait will be on display in its own room. Repairs to the museum could take a decade. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. State Republicans are proposing to ban cell phones in K-12 public school classrooms across Wisconsin. The proposed legislation would require school districts to implement their own policies for banning electronic devices like phones and tablets in the classroom. Some districts have put similar policies into effect already, many of which later backed off the cell phone ban amid criticism from students and parents. State lawmakers say the trickiest part of the policy would be districts figuring out the best way to actually enforce the bans. The deadline for the annual Wisconsin Governor's Business Plan Contest is fast approaching. The yearly contest, produced by the Wisconsin Technology Council, asks entrepreneurs to submit their business ideas and connects them with resources like business plan templates and networking contacts. Finalists in the contest could also receive shares of cash and service prizes. The deadline to enter the 2025 competition is Friday at 11:59 p.m. Contest applications can be submitted online at govsbizplancontest.com. A 19-year-old Duluth man is facing charges after being accused of shooting a woman during an apparent drug deal. According to court documents, 19-year-old Evan Ed Blum is facing multiple charges, including two counts of assault with a dangerous weapon. The incident occurred on January 21st, and the victim allegedly told authorities that her boyfriend had intended to sell about $100 worth of marijuana to Ed Blum. She said Ed Blum then attempted to rob them and shot at their truck about 10 times as they attempted to flee. The Duluth Housing and Redevelopment Authority has received nearly $1.4 million in state funding to build and sell single-family homes around the city. As the price of housing continues to increase amid higher demand and lower supply, the Duluth HRA plans to build 3 homes in the Central Hillside neighborhood and 12 homes in the Morgan Park area. Officials say the homes will be a mix of 2- and 3-bedroom houses and feature sustainable power sources. City officials say they need to increase housing stock to match their growing workforce. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A Packers coach gets a contract extension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a 2-year contract extension. The 64-year-old Bisaccia is the special teams coordinator and assistant head coach. In his 3 years in Green Bay, he's improved their special teams ranking slightly, but is also viewed as a close advisor to Matt LaFleur. The team has also hired back Luke Getsy as an assistant coach. Getsy has served as an offensive coordinator for the Bears and the Raiders. It's possible Adam Stanovich could be hired away by another team as a coordinator who could be the play caller on game day. NBA, the Bucks with a 125-110 win over the Utah Jazz. Giannis and Damian Lillard each with 35 points. Chris Middleton off the bench with 22. Head coach Doc Rivers.
You could see Chris had live legs tonight, and that was good. As a staff, we have to be very patient with it.
The Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Windy and rather warm today, with more and more sunshine peeking out and temperatures getting shoved by the feisty winds to highs near 40 degrees. Speaking of, winds are gusting up to 40. They stay feisty through tomorrow, too, and become blustery, cooling us down about 10 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Emily Zeppos joins us. She's worked with the Outagamie County Democratic Party. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here. Robert Kennedy Jr.'s confirmation hearing. What does that mean for our health? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome into hour number 2 of the program, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. It is sunny. It is beautiful in downtown Madison, and Zommers, it's warming up. I went over to our great friends over at Wonder State Coffee. By the way, if you're in Madison, stop right on the square. Beautiful windows, great service. Most of all, fantastic coffee from our solar roastery in Viroqua, Wisconsin. Right here, Madison Wonder State Coffee also have cafes in Viroqua and up in beautiful Bayfield. You can find them at wonderstate.com.
Man, that place smells great.
It does, doesn't it? It's fantastic. So I went over to get some Wonder State Coffee, and I didn't even. It was a little windy. It's a little windy. I know our listeners, our viewers down in southeast Wisconsin, along Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. There is a wind advisory down there, I believe. Some high winds there.
Good old lake effect, I imagine. Yeah.
So if you're a high-profile vehicle or a high-profile person, be careful. You might get blown away down there. So just be careful. But otherwise, it's a beautiful day. It really is, especially for January. You can't beat it with a stick.
Yeah. Normally in the winter, I wear, you know, whatever clothes and then a sweatshirt and my winter coat.
Right.
That was too much today.
Too much. It's going to be a great hour. Coming up in just a minute, a little what's worse for you. We did our Twitter X poll today. Put this on the poll. We'll give you the early results of that. Tell you what that's about. It pits one state again another. Our what's worse poll coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Our old friend Joe Gao, former chancellor at La Crosse, wants to start cooking again. Well, at least teaching, as it turns out. Now, here's the deal. This guy, Joe Gao, a longtime chancellor at La Crosse, people said he was doing a great job, got all kinds of awards, and then it turns out, on the side, in the evening, on his own time, he and his wife were doing a cooking show. And there's lots of cooking shows out there. You got the Food Network, the Cooking Channel, I think, or whatever. You got the Home and Garden People. You got Ingrid Gravata, whatever her name is. I mean, all kinds of. You got Emeril Lagasse, Jacques Pepin.
A lot of great cooking
lots
shows.
Lots of great cooking shows. And it's tough to break into the cooking show business, from what I understand. You got to have, as they said in Gypsy, you got to have a gimmick if you want to get ahead.
And boy, did they come up with a gimmick.
So they came up with a gimmick, and you know, bless them. The gimmick was, we'll have people on and we'll cook a meal and then we'll get naked and have sex.
And so on YouTube, you have sexy, healthy cooking, where the happy couple, Mr. and Mrs. Gao, invite an adult film star four stars. There are a couple where they have multiple people.
And I, for my money, I didn't know there were so many adult film stars in La Crosse. I've been there several times.
I don't think they're from La Crosse.
They flew them in.
I believe so.
Just like a fresh lobster.
Exactly. They fly in the fresh lobster. And they,
or
they,
the tail.
They do mostly vegan recipes.
I'm sure it is.
And they're cooking. And I don't remember her name, but Mr. Gao's wife is like,
matter.
All right, here's the recipe. This is what we're doing. This food's going to be delicious. I hope you like that. And Joe Gao is just kind of like, so you do porn? It's so funny. And then on other websites,
yeah, you understand,
they have the recipe.
Zomers was assigned this as homework for the show. He was assigned this for the show.
I did not watch the other half of the content.
Or so he says.
Look, you can believe what you want.
It was saucy, as they say. Now, this is, we're not making this up, you understand. This is real. This is so the chancellor was, and to be clear, he wasn't doing this on campus. He wasn't using campus
no,
cameras.
No. Right?
This was on his own time. Well, Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, now he can put up with a lot, you understand. Say, like at the Richland campus, where they got rid of the recruiter, retired, and the local people said, hey, here's $600,000 to keep a recruiter. And Rothman said, no, thank you. I'm going to close this puppy down. He's fine with closing down campuses in rural Wisconsin. But porn on your own time, that was too much. And so Rothman weighed in.
There's that. But also, I know the Chancellor Gao, then Chancellor Gao, invited in some porn stars, or at least one, to give a speech, give a talk at the campus.
Under free speech.
Under free speech.
Right.
Like, hey, this is a career path that I'm at. Here's what it's like. And that was not received well.
Now, look, people laugh. People laugh, but there are people making buck on OnlyFans. I'm just saying.
Oh, people can make a lot of money. You just got to know how.
It's a life choice if you put yourself out there.
Can make it hard to get into some other career fields when anyone can Google your name and all they find are feet pics.
Really? There's feet pic OnlyFans?
People will pay for anything.
I'm sure they
will. If we've learned anything from Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World, yeah, it's that people will pay for anything.
You are still right about that, Somers. So the chancellor said, no, I don't, or the president of the UW system said, no, I don't want one of my chancellors doing porn in their own time, so you're out of a job. And the Board of Regents said, we're also going to take away the guy's tenure so he can't teach. So this brings up a serious, point, is that what are you allowed to do and not do in your own free time when you're not on the clock of the taxpayer? So now, Chancellor Gao, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Kelly Meyerhofer, writing this article, former University of Wisconsin La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao filed a federal lawsuit yesterday in a last-ditch effort to reclaim his teaching job after he was fired last fall for appearing in those pornographic videos with his wife on his own time. The lawsuit argues the UW system's decision to terminate Gao violated the First Amendment and flouted the UW system's commitment to free expression. Now, in all seriousness, because they brought in very conservative right-wing speakers to UW Madison. There's been some fallout from that. There's been left-leaning people. And so Gao just brought in a person and said, well, you know, this is what I do. I think the mistake you made, to your point, Zomers, is that it was somebody who bet on the show.
Yes. That, like, if it was just you're bringing in somebody to talk about different perspectives and learn things from different people, yeah, that's all on board with education. You know, ask people questions and learn what their life is like. But when you're also, you really flew them in there for profit and for fun, I guess, and cooking, for a cooking show.
Apparently, many of Chancellor Gao's, former Chancellor Gao's dishes included carrots. Oddly shaped carrots. Have you seen those commercials with the oddly shaped carrots?
I have.
Who doesn't enjoy a good carrot dish when you're cooking? I mean, it's vegan, it's vegetarian, it's healthy for you. Okay, it's 14 past the hour at 1 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Yes.
The choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Tied once again for what's worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, certainly no guest starring roles in any cooking shows, but it is your chance to have your voices heard across the state of Wisconsin. Civic Media, the largest privately owned radio network in the state, 11 stations covering all major media markets. Great opportunity to have your voice heard. Mark and Prayer to Sack. Something about a head of lettuce. I'm not sure where that was going. Anyway, what's worse? Now here, this is very interesting today. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say. Because we are coming, if you're a college basketball fan like me, we're coming down, now that we get into February, things start getting serious. Wisconsin Badgers, by the way, big win over Nebraska on Sunday. They're going to travel out to Maryland tomorrow. Wisconsin at Maryland. Pre-game show at 5 o'clock on select stations across Civic Media. Hopefully one of yours has been selected. It has been. If you're in Amory, Wisconsin, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, or Richland Center, you can also listen to it for free on the Civic Media app. Simply download it. Go to one of the stations that I mentioned. Click on it. Hear Matt LaPay, Brian Butch, and the Badgers. 5 o'clock pregame show against Maryland tomorrow. So the Badgers are on a big roll, doing well. Moved up, I think, to 17, Mike Clemens said, our sports reporter in the coach's AP poll. And so now you get down to it where Wisconsin's going to be playing Minnesota, Illinois, all these different states. And we have rivalries, you understand? Rivalries. And look, this is good natured, so don't get too bent out of shape. We're just having some fun. It's like a cooking show. So today's what's worse, because these two teams that, I mean, not so much one, but maybe the other could really be a rival. Today's what's worse, Minnesota or Illinois? Minnesota or Illinois, what's worse? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Now, Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, the Gophers, not doing well at basketball. But Illinois, they're doing okay. They're going to be a tough out. So this could be sports. It could be, you know, hopefully not people. But sports, it could just be the state in general. It could be, it's not even comparable if you want to say like roads and driving, in my opinion. But what's worse, Minnesota or Illinois?
And also starting today, at Allbaugh Show, Allbaugh Show on Twitter or X, we have a poll posted. We're going to hopefully get those going every day.
Well, let's leave Joe Gow out of it. Oh, I'm sorry, what?
He can post it, or he can vote if he wants. But yeah, we have a poll. You can vote to see. Yes. If you're not able to call in during the show, you can still share your voice.
You can still be a part of the show by giving us your poll numbers. So far, with 4 votes, 100% of the people are saying Illinois.
That Illinois is worse.
Yeah. What's worse, Minnesota or Illinois? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. This is just a little fun, you understand. Greg in Genesee Depot. Thank you for listening, Greg. Genesee Depot, a lovely, lovely community. Greg in Genesee Depot texts in and says, Illinois, everything about it, too flat. It is very flat in Illinois, that's for sure. DJ, listening on WXCO up in beautiful Wausau, Wisconsin. Illinois is clearly worse. Their geography is atrocious. It's so flat. How flat is it? It's so flat, you could watch your dog run away for 3 days. Thank you, DJ in the Saw. Back with more What's Worse after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 21 past the hour, 1 o'clock. Now listen, if you're a Wisconsinite, there's nothing going to brighten up your day better than that song. I mean, because it rings true.
You'll never guess what my answer is.
I have a feeling. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Zomers on the board. Glad to have you along. Asking the pertinent question, what's worse, Minnesota or Illinois? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the app. Lots of great answers. Entries, going to bring you a couple of them. Andrew in Maine, listening on WAUK, Waukesha, Milwaukee, says the governor of Minnesota was chosen as a VP candidate. A past governor of Illinois was charged with bribery. Knowing nothing else, Illinois sounds worse. Okay, fair enough. James in Madison, listening on WMDX, Illinois is worse. James from Madison. Very good. All right, very succinct. I like that. Dave in New Berlin says, I'm not a fan of collegiate sports. Okay, well, because I referenced college basketball, but he says, to Zomer's music, I'd point out that the Bears and the Cubs are in Illinois. Illinois is worse. DJ, listening in Madison, this is a quote. He says, on WMDX, says, I'm from Illinois, so I know it's Illinois. Wow, a native son. Chris, listening in Blue River on WRCE in Richland Center, says Illinois. Other than Chicago's architecture and deep dish pizza, Illinois, even with the flat topography, it's still able to hold 8 of Dante's 9 circles of hell.
Megan here in the office texted in.
Oh, Megan here, lovely Megan. She keeps us on the right track. Does so much for us. We appreciate her. Megan says, "Man, folks are being so mean to my home state on what's worse today." Fun fact: born and raised in Illinois.
Well, I'm so sorry.
You understand, Megan? We love Illinoisans. I don't think it's the Illinoisans. It's just some of the things of the state. And look, to Chris's point in Blue River, I love Chicago pizza. I love going to the Miracle Mile. I love sitting up there on the hillside by the observatory and the field museum. There's lots of good things, but we're just having some good-natured fun.
Yeah, definitely.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Dick, listening in Madison on WMDX. Dick, what's worse, Minnesota or Illinois?
Well, I always attached a coach to it as well. Like, for instance, when Knight was at Indiana. And are you old enough to remember Steve Yoder?
Oh, of course.
Well, okay.
The great basketball coach at Wisconsin before Dick Bennett.
Right. Well, prior to the Indiana games, you'd always see him holding court at, you know, with the officials. I'm talking about at night. And then Steve Yoder had this habit of constantly straightening his tie, like, you know, like Robbie Dangerfield. Uh-huh. And he totally got no respect either.
That's
but
true.
I attach coaches, and so it goes to Illinois. Worst hairdo in history, Lou Henson.
Well said, Dick.
The
Ludo. I love it. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Jim, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee out of Brookfield. Jim, what's worse, Minnesota or Illinois?
Good afternoon. It's definitely Illinois, in my opinion. Two reasons. Statewide, as fun as Chicago can be, outside of Chicago, Illinois is like Alabama. You get down south near Carbondale and whatnot, it's pretty red and pretty mega. Minnesota does not have that, you know. Southern right. Illinois is like Alabama. And then collegiate sport-wise, I have to go with the Gophers over the Fighting Illini. P.J. Fleck up there in Minnesota football has them rolling, and they win multiple bowl games.
Yep.
And I have to be somewhat partial because both my daughters attend University of Minnesota, which is a great school.
It is a great school. Absolutely. Appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, Minnesota or Illinois? Jim brings up a great point there. The Fleckster, P.J. Fleck. Now, I give Minnesota a pass on Fleck as a state because he's really not a Minnesotan. He comes from someplace else. And one more text here. Tyler in Columbia County listening to WMDX says, I'll take Gray Duck over toll roads. Only thing is, Illinois has over Minnesota is Metra. Oh, okay, the Metra or the transportation system.
Yeah, it does make it really easy to get around Chicago.
Yeah. Zomers, so what's worse, Minnesota or Illinois?
Illinois, yeah, which I'm sure shocks nobody for me to say that. There are plenty of reasons. Number one, I hate driving in Chicago. For me, it's not the traffic. I can deal with people being jerks. It's the signs and the roads. Mm-hmm. And like, it'll say, all right, parking for the McCormick Convention Center is right. It is not right. It is left. Don't be fooled. The signs will lie to you. And I hate it.
Yeah.
So that the toll roads are annoying, but I understand why they do it. But the biggest reason for me that Illinois is worse is because I know more people from Illinois, and so I get to bug them more about it.
Oh, you just kind of kid them. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to give people crap about Illinois.
Look, I mean, they're both great states in their own way.
Yes.
We're just having some fun here. I would tend to agree with you. Not tend to agree. To a lot of the callers' points and texters' points, I will say outside of Chicago, if you ever get a chance, go to Springfield. Not that Springfield is that cool of a city, but the Lincoln Library and Museum, Abraham Lincoln.
I would like to check that out.
That's amazing. I've been to that, and it's a super cool museum. It's really well done. They've preserved the courthouse where Lincoln first practiced law in the state house there, where he allegedly climbed out a window to skip a vote and all that. It's really well done. And so Springfield is cool to one of the callers. But yes, Southern Illinois, you get down like just across the border from Paducah, Kentucky. If you listen closely, you can hear the banjo.
I'm sure you can.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes.
One other thing about Illinois. It will never not be funny to me how much money Chicago spends on the sports teams and how god-awful they are.
Right. That's very true. And Minnesota, to me, I mean, it's more of a sister state, I think, to Wisconsin that has more of the same topography. Certainly has the lakes. And I feel like Minnesota is just kind of like two good friends or two brothers or two siblings kidding each other. But we know that we're kind of very similar. And the thing about Illinois is, no matter what else happens, Wisconsin will always be slightly above.
This is fact. Also, this is our first unanimous what's worse.
Yes.
Wow. We didn't get a single call or text voting that Minnesota is worse.
Congratulations, Minnesotans. It turns out that Illinois is worse than Minnesota. Come on back and turn the page, talk a little serious news on the other side about Wisconsin women's basketball. Stay tuned. This is Civic Media, Ready to Know.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are once again looking to amend the state constitution to limit the governor's partial veto power. Republicans have made multiple attempts to limit those veto powers, including a prior effort at a constitutional amendment and lawsuits challenging specific vetoes, like the partial veto that extended school funding increases for the next 400 years. Governor Tony Evers has criticized the repeated attempts to amend the constitution, saying Republican lawmakers should implement a citizen ballot initiative instead. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents that they can obtain free identification for voting. According to a press release, voters do not need to obtain one of the new Real ID cards in order to vote, even though the Real ID cards will be required for domestic air travel beginning this year. Voters can obtain a valid state ID that can be used at their polling sites for free through the DMV website. The full requirements to obtain a voter ID card can also be found on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. The suspect in a December hit-and-run that led to a high-speed chase has officially been charged. 52-year-old Brian Drain of Spooner was arrested shortly after the alleged hit-and-run in December. According to court documents, when authorities attempted to stop Drain following the collision, he allegedly fled and reached speeds of 100 miles per hour. He was charged with attempting to flee an officer, possession of methamphetamine, hit-and-run, and reckless driving. He is scheduled to appear in court again in February to answer the charges. The city of Ashland will host a public hearing on potential improvements at JFK Memorial Airport on Tuesday. The city is considering improvements like runway rehabilitation, installing new lights and signage, and purchasing more land for runway approaches. They are also considering the purchase of snow removal equipment, updating the terminal building, reconstructing airport parking lots, and preparing a new airport master plan. The hearing will be held during the city council meeting at City Hall on Tuesday at 6 p.m. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There are all kinds of benefits to having a younger host of Wheel of Fortune, especially when it comes to explaining internet slang to your letter-turning co-host, Vanna White. Vanna White posted a picture of her and her son cooking together on social media, which brought her son lots of attention, with people referring to the picture as a thirst trap. Not judging, because I had to Google it myself, but White said she had no idea what that was, but luckily, her young whippersnapper 50-year-old co-host, Ryan Seacrest, set everyone straight. Say what you want about Jennifer Lopez, but she is a showbiz juggernaut. The pop icon actress, who has a tendency to make headlines for all the wrong reason, just righted the ship with a standing ovation after a screening of her new film at the Sundance Film Festival. Lopez stars in the second film adaptation of the novel Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Jenny from the Block says this old-fashioned musical version of the film is one she's always wanted to make, and that witnessing a standing ovation actually made her dream come true. How can that awful Ben Affleck not love her? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Windy and rather warm today, with more and more sunshine peeking out and temperatures getting shoved by the feisty winds to highs near 40 degrees. Speaking of, winds are gusting up to 40. They stay feisty through tomorrow, too, and become blustery, cooling us down about 10 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Entertainment reporter Chris Foran. Then I'm joined by Wisconsin native and Brooklyn-based stand-up comedian Olivia Witt. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock, Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. Zommers on the board. Appreciate everybody who called in, participated in What's Worse. Always try to get that in the first half hour of hour number two. A chance to, you know, talk about the less serious and just have some fun along the way. I think that's important, particularly as we navigate the next 4 years together. We're not even through week two, and believe you me, I do this for a living, and even I could get a bit overwhelmed every day. And I think it's important to take time out to have a little fun, get outdoors, touch the grass, as the kids say, and take time for ourselves and our mental health. Very, very important. Mental health has to do with our next story. Anybody who is a regular listener to this program knows full well, hard to find a bigger Cardinal and White Badger fan than Todd, even though I'm not a graduate, never had the academic success to get into Madison. Of course, I found out later I'm dyslexic, so that's a whole other story. But I lived vicariously through my two godsons, who are both proud graduates, and one of my godson's partners, she is also a graduate of UW-Madison. So I feel like I'm a Badger godfather. And I love the Badgers. But I think it's also important to point out and talk about when one of the programs seems to be falling short. Story in BadgerNotes.com, also been in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin State Journal, other places. Headline, former Wisconsin women's basketball player alleges abuse under Marissa Mosley. It's a very, very concerning story. And again, I want to stress so far, these are allegations. The University of Wisconsin Athletic Department has put out a statement saying they're going to investigate and that they certainly condemn any sort of abuse towards players if that were to be proven true. Keyword if at this point. But not looking good right now for head coach Marissa Mosley. From BadgerNotes.com, the Wisconsin Badger women's basketball program finds itself under fire after former player Tessa Towers went public with allegations of egregious mistreatment during her time in Madison. Towers, who entered the transfer portal in March of 2023 after appearing in just four games over two seasons, shared her claims on TikTok, accusing head coach Marissa Mosley and her staff of creating a toxic environment. The 6'5" forward alleges a pattern of abuse, including being forced to sign a release, granting Mosley access to her therapy sessions under the threat of being removed from the basketball team. Towers posted, and I quote, "My coach made me sign a release from her for her to access my therapy sessions, or I'd be kicked off the team," unquote. She also claimed the staff pressured her into mental health decisions, stating, again a quote, "My coach gave me a choice between admitting myself to a mental hospital or getting kicked off the team," unquote. Towers also shared another alarming claim, stating, quote, "My coach and staff said if I were to say anything remotely close to thoughts of suicide or death to my therapist, I would be kicked off the team," unquote. Accusations did not stop there, according to BadgerNotes.com. Towers detailed other incidents, including being excluded from team trips, forced to undergo testing for autism against her will, and being subjected to a three-strikes policy that was unique to her. One strike reportedly stemmed from forgetting to turn in a goal sheet on time. Quote, "I was the only one with this rule," unquote. Towers described these experiences as deeply challenging, noting, quote, "I was forced to do a lot of things I didn't want to do, but at least the experience helped me advocate for myself and mature," unquote. Towers took a leave of absence in December of 2022 to focus on a personal matter, with Coach Mosley commenting at the time, quote, "Our program fully supports Tessa as she takes this time away. We will always make sure that people come first before basketball," unquote. However, the Illinois native's latest complaint paint a starkly different picture. Towers allegations join a broader narrative of instability within the women's basketball program at Wisconsin. Sydney Hilliard, another player who left the team citing mental health reasons, has publicly supported Towers, the player, with a heart emoji followed by three fire emojis or flame emojis in solidarity. Tessa Grady, who played in 5 games this season but is currently sidelined with an injury and has been noticeably absent from the bench in recent weeks, added, quote, "Now this sounds familiar. Glad we got that," quote. It's an expletive, so I'm trying. Let me start this again. The quote is from Tessa Grady, current player. Quote, "Now this sounds familiar. Glad we got out of that blank hole," unquote. Several other former players, including Christina Elbow or Elo, Imbe Jones, and Sasha Vanderpool, have also weighed in on the matter. Notably, all have either transferred out of the program or stepped away from basketball, with Elo commenting, quote, "Oh, wait, I've been through that too," unquote. A source with knowledge of the situation noted that Coach Mosley was particularly hard on Vanderpool, Elo, and Hilliard, adding that Hilliard seemed to bear the brunt more than anyone else. This isn't the first time, reading from this story from BadgerNotes.com today, on Melissa Mosley, head coach of the Wisconsin Badger women's basketball team. Quote, "This isn't the first time Mosley has made headlines while at Wisconsin. During a press conference last season, Mosley referred to some of her players as, quote, run-of-the-mill white kids," unquote, while describing the diversity on the basketball team. Her quote was, quote, "If you look at my team, we're pretty much the United Nations. I have the first Indian woman to ever play in the Power Five. I have kids who are Nigerian and kids who are Dominican and kids who are Mexican and kids who are run-of-the-mill white because they're still here too," unquote. Then Mosley quickly added, quote, "Well, my mom is white, so nobody is offended. My mom is a white woman from the Berkshires. Very white," unquote. The program also experienced significant turnover on the coaching staff following Mosley's second season, with all 3 assistants leaving during that offseason. And the story goes on. It's disturbing enough to have one individual come forward, but I think if it's one individual, you give someone the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. But the fact that both former and at least one current player seems to back up these allegations with similar behavior, I find particularly disturbing. An era when we talk all the time, as we should, and quite frankly, we should do better. I'm pointing the finger at Todd, myself. I need to do better talking more about mental health on this show. And when we talk about folks' mental health, and to have a coach like this, allegedly, who is telling a player that you cannot be honest with your therapist or you'll be kicked off the team. Athletic director Chris McIntosh, I hope, gets to the bottom of this quickly. If these allegations are true, Coach Mosley should be immediately fired, in my opinion. And completely aside from this, by the way, is the atrocious record she has. I mean, there are times like, do we still have a women's basketball program? And that's not on the players, by the way. That's not a slam on any player. We've talked to Brady Ewing, played for the Badger football team. There are very few, if any, D1 athletes on any sport at any level and any gender who aren't trying their best. But now with these allegations, and not just from one person, but several, it would appear that maybe just perhaps, you know, I don't know, if your coach is messing with your mental health, telling you you can't be honest with your therapist, making you sign something to release so that she has all the access to your private health records with your therapist, I don't know, maybe that would make me not want to be a very good player either. Have feelings on it. Would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Our coaches, at whatever level, are supposed to be there to help young people, our kids, to be mentors. And yes, sometimes there's something called tough love, driving a person to be their best. Saying, hey, you're not going to quit. You practice hard. Setting down team-wide rules. Hey, you're going to be on time for practice. You're going to be on time for buses and planes. Being on time is important to this team. Maybe there's a dress code. I don't know. There are certain rules that each coach are reasonable for everyone, and you have to apply those rules evenly. But when you start going after players, allegedly, and again, it's not one, but apparently several, and on their mental health, really sad. If it proves to be true, and again, I called the University of Wisconsin Athletic Department to do an expeditious and thorough and fair investigation and get to the bottom of this. And if these are proven true, I hope that I would love to see women's basketball at Wisconsin do well. I mean, if there are any fans out there, help me. I mean, the last time I remember being excited about women's basketball was Jane Albright Dieterle. When she was the head coach, maybe 20 years ago-ish, when they actually went to the NCAA tournament, made a little bit of a run. It's just sad. And I get it. There are bigger things in life than sports. But in this day and age, when we are so divided by our politics, we have to have something that brings us together. I don't care whether that's the arts and going to a theater presentation or a musical event. I don't care whether it's a sporting event, going hunting together, bird watching, hikes, kayaking, camping. This is why it's so important that we have these things in our life and that we talk about them and that we encourage them. Because those are the things that for a moment we should be able to put our political differences aside and focus on what makes Wisconsin great and what brings us together. Pretty hard to hate someone when you're sharing a beverage over a campfire or floating down the Sugar River on a kayak or sailing in Lake Michigan off the shore of Milwaukee or hiking along the shore of Bayfield. Floating down the lower Wisconsin Riverway. Those are the times when you find out, hey, you know what? We're much more alike than we are different. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I get it. Believe me. It's my job to try to keep all of us informed. And it can be overwhelming. But I'm going to keep reminding myself as much as you, hold fast to that which is good and rejoice in that which is yours, which is our friends, our family, and our faith. And that's how we get through the next 4 years together. Back to wrap up the show after this. It's the Todd Allball Show right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Equal Protection Clause, embedded in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment, is now being used to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act, opening the door to even more voter suppression. Why is its history important? The 14th Amendment passed in 1868 and granted citizenship to formerly enslaved African Americans. The Equal Protection Clause reads, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Scholars agree that it was intended to stop states from discriminating against Black Americans. Yet, as the National Constitution Center points out, it was also used to justify the U.S. Supreme Court's Plessy v. Ferguson, allowing discriminatory, separate but equal schools, transportation, and accommodations in 1896. Another interpretation overturned that decision in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954. In 2023, it was used to eliminate race-based affirmative action for college admissions. U.S. Supreme Court conservatives, notably Justices Alito and Thomas, argue any consideration of race is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. How might their interpretation impact voting rights? More on that in our next report.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on a Tuesday where it is 10, make it 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Got to get new glasses here pretty soon, Zommers. Coming up at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to across the state of Wisconsin. A quick weather update. Remember, some wind advisories for southeast Wisconsin. Keep her between the lines, particularly if you have a high-profile vehicle. A sports update with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And then it's another edition from 2 until 4 of the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie, in fact, Maggie will be right here where I am in just a couple of minutes. She is here in Madison today and sitting down with former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to discuss the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And later, Sean Fetteplace joins the program to talk about the expanding Badger Care in Wisconsin. That's today from 2 until 4. Then our friend Dom Selvia. Dom kicks off the show. Well, look at this. Maggie's sticking around a little overtime, it says, with Maggie Dawn, taking your phone calls and discussing the news of the day. And then tonight at 6, from 6 until 8, Pete Schwabba, the great. I'm going to call him Pete the Great. Pete Schwabba.
I prefer the Schwabinator.
The Schwabinator.
Or Schwabadabba-ding-dong.
It goes together like Schwabadabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-ding-dong.
Exactly.
That's pretty good, Zommer. Did you come up with that?
Nope.
Oh.
It was in one of his promos a while ago.
I don't remember
exactly what it was. I think Greg said it. I'm pretty sure it was Greg Bach from Matt Nair on Air.
Oh, God love him. That's really good. I like that. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete welcomes Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment reporter Chris Foran to the show. And then in the second hour, Pete speaks with Wisconsin comedian Olivia Witt. So tune in. That'd be great. And then Rick Smith Across America, and then our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. The thing people don't realize, I think, about Robert Pilot is people know he's knowledgeable, particularly about Native issues, and as he says, Indian country. But he also is really, really funny. He has a great sense of humor. And we've been honored. He's been on our program a couple of times, and he likes to tell people, "I'm funnier on other people's shows," which I think is actually kind of true because he talks a lot of serious stuff, but he's a very funny man. And he has a great sense of humor.
And he has this, like, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but his sense of humor a lot of the time revolves around, I'm Native American and you're not.
Right. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But in a very funny way.
In a very funny way. And it's very dry humor sometimes.
Yes. I love dry humor.
Which I really appreciate. So, you got Robert Pilot on Native Roots Radio. So that's all what's coming up a little bit here on the old network. Want to leave you with some good news. How about some good news, Zommers? We need some, right?
Yeah, we can always use some of that.
Headline from Channel3000.com, the CBS affiliate here in Madison, the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater College of Business and Economics joins the top business school network. How about that? That's fantastic. Dateline Whitewater, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater College of Business and Economics is now a full member of the European Foundation for Management Development, better known as EFMD. The school announced today the EFMD links together business schools from around the globe. To join, colleges must abide by high standards and continue to improve in teaching, research, and engagement with the broader business industry. Quote, we're proud to be recognized by EFMD Global as an international leader in providing exceptional business education, unquote, said Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, John Chenoweth. Went on to say, quote, this membership will further enhance the opportunities our students have as they become the next generation for innovative, talented, ethical business professionals. UW-Whitewater is just one of 27 colleges in the entire country, 27 in the United States, that's great, to join the EFMD as a full member. Other American full members include Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, the Jesse H. Jones Graduate School of Business at Rice University, and UW-Madison, Wisconsin's School of Business. I've always enjoyed the Kellogg School of Management at North. I wish I could have gone there. They have a great leadership team at Kellogg School of Management. Snap, crackle, and pop.
I was wondering where this was going to go.
I believe their theme is, come to Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. We are great.
They're not just good. They're nationally accredited.
That's right. Zommers has to put up with this every day. He deserves a raise. But no, in all seriousness, UW-Whitewater School of College of Business and Economics, congratulations. That's something good, part of what makes Wisconsin great.
I guess that UW school is not getting shut down.
No, I would hope not. I would think not.
No, it's also not a 2-year, so they're safe.
Right. And they don't need a cooking program to make things go well.
No, they don't. It might help.
But in all seriousness, I know a lot of people. My friend Rob, a great one of the smartest business financial people I know, probably the smartest, proud graduate of UW-Whitewater, other school of business. I just like to say business and economics. So there you go. If you have a kid, or you want to check in a business school, check at UW-Whitewater. They're now fully accredited, as they say. Off the text line, Tom in Jackson, which is very different than Tom Jackson, another person. This is Tom in Jackson, listening on WMDX, says, Robert Pilot, our friend at Native Roots Radio, also has a great radio voice. He really does. He really does. He's a guy made for radio. So there you go. Zommer's great show today. Our many thanks to our friend Luke Mathers for being on the program today. Thank you for you, all of our callers as well. And tomorrow on the show, our friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, as well as Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, will be here to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court race in the state of Wisconsin. That should be fun. Another What's Worse, and whatever breaks overnight, which could be pretty much anything at this point.
It really could.
Stay tuned next. Maggie Dunn is live here in Madison, along with Harry Dunn, a former Capitol Police officer. Should be a great show. Until tomorrow, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll explain how some state lawmakers want to hide from you the true cost, the big price you're paying for kids to go to private voucher schools.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House briefing today, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says their assessment of the drones flown in New Jersey these past months is that the majority were authorized and not the enemy.
The drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons.
That assessment echoes the Biden administration's assessment back in December that the drones did not pose a danger and there was nothing nefarious. Federal aid, public loans, and grants already approved by Congress have been frozen by the Trump administration. White House officials say it's a temporary pause and does not impact money going directly to individuals for programs like Medicare and Social Security. In Kansas, state health officials say they're dealing with the largest documented outbreak of tuberculosis, or TB, in the nation's history. The state reports two deaths in the past year, along with 67 active cases. This is ABC News.
I'm James.